What a great day, and especially for those that are visitors to this community. This is more than just the city of Ladonia. There are a lot of folks here from the entire region. We should thank those that had the perseverance to stay with this project. I can't tell you how many Audrain County Farm Bureau meetings I went to hear the update about this ethanol plant. And so thanks to those who really stuck with it. I can't tell you how many trips by, where we just saw the chat and the gravel out here, and then it just seemed like all of a sudden we had these great massive structures that were put in place. So thanks to the community, and especially community leaders that have helped make sure that this is possible. What's interesting now in Washington is that everybody seems to have jumped on the ethanol bandwagon. I heard a guy the other day who said, who was running for office, and he said, well, of course everybody's for ethanol. It's like mom and apple pie. And I thought to myself, boy, talk about a Johnny come lately, because this hasn't been an easy struggle. As my friend Jim Talent mentioned, boy, in the late 90s, we had the oil industry. We had some powerful people in Washington, D.C., who wanted to see the ethanol tax incentive killed. And so we worked very hard, a bipartisan effort, to hang on to that ethanol tax incentive. And as a result of that, it's helped bring those investors into plants like this one. If you wonder whether or not a tax incentive is useful, before the tax credit was first put into law, we had about 175 million, that's all, 175 million gallons of ethanol from sea to shining sea. Now we have the capacity for 5 billion gallons of ethanol across the country. And so And believe it or not, I looked for him, but I didn't see him in the room or in the line. There still are a couple of detractors. In the newspaper and the Columbia paper on Friday, the conservation chairman of the Ozark chapter of the Sierra Club said, "What's the big deal about ethanol?" He used that misguided study that says it takes more energy to make than than it actually produces, which we know is false. He said that this was a piddling amount, and it said that only a few farmers would benefit. Well, with all due respect, I spent about 2 weeks on a combine in late August to harvest our 400 acres of corn, and though I'm not an investor in any ethanol plant, the fact is that even anybody that harvest corn in this state or this country, quite frankly, benefits from the fact that this plant itself will be using 17 million bushels of corn. It's going to make 45 million gallons of ethanol. You cannot convince me at all that this isn't good for all farmers, not just in this region, but across the country. In fact, I'm excited to see the blue and gold coats that are here. To you guys, this is the future of farming, right here. This is the future of farming. We want to make it so that if you as a young person want to come back to the farm, it's going to be easier to do. And I think we are seeing a renaissance in American agriculture because of plants just like this. And so it's great to have you all here as well. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America must get serious about ending our dependence on other countries for foreign oil. We've got to get serious. We've got to get serious. And thankfully, the man in the White House, an oil man, has been the biggest champion for ethanol and biodiesel and renewable fuels than anybody that I've ever seen. So we have to have a U.S. energy policy, yes, that focuses on some conservation. Yes, looks at responsible production, whether it's in Alaska or in the Gulf of Mexico, but that national energy plan that has to have, at the very essence, renewable fuels. Instead of looking to the Mideast for our energy needs, it's about time we look to the Midwest, and today is a great example for that. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and congratulations to you.